We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal. The Solid
Verbal. Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildenbrand. Joining me, as always, over there in stormy New York City, the one, the only Dan Rubenstein. Sir, how are you?
Ty, I'm not one for signs from above.
No.
I'm not one for omens. I'm not one for good luck.
Mm-hmm.
But I was walking back from the office space at which I work, back to the Clawfis here, where I record the show and do all the audio recording I do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I faintly hear something, and it's getting louder as I'm walking closer and closer to in the direction I'm walking. It's getting louder and louder and louder. And then all of a sudden, I can make out what it is. And it's that boom, ba boom, 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 ba doom, boom, bayo.
Yeah.
Super bass. And I was like, okay, if I am walking to do the show and Ty's selection for what he would, quote, sing on a nationally televised singing competition show comes on, I'm feeling good.
Had some commentary on that on the old Twitter sphere.
Yeah, people not feeling it.
One gentleman in particular said it totally makes sense. Not sure if I should take that as a compliment. I'm guessing it wasn't, but what have
take
you?
It with the spirit with which it was intended.
Whatever. Got to be honest. This is a show about honesty. Welcome to the
That's
Solid
true.
Verbal. I'm Ty. He's Dan. You could find us at solidverbal.com. There is also a newsletter, which I would strongly suggest if you like the show. And if you might be interested in some upcoming announcements, of which there are several, please do sign up for that newsletter. It's free. We won't spam you. We promise. We got clothing. We got shows. We got stuff to talk about over the next couple months. Sign up for the newsletter if you like it. And if not, you know, if you don't want to sign up for the newsletter, that's fine. You can still subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts, be it Apple, be it Google, be it Spotify. Do they got podcasts over on Tidal yet? Maybe. If so, you can subscribe there. Anywhere you could find a podcast, you could find our show. And of course, find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. The subreddit had an incredible AMA with our good friend Mike Golic Jr. earlier this week. Did you see that?
I did. It covered a range of topics, a lot of South Bend food talk, which I don't know how applicable it is to me, but it's applicable to somebody. And he talked about preparing for Navy. He talked about body arts, a lot of food stuff, coffee naps. He really touched on a good variety of things. So I was very pleased with how that turned out. And we're going to have more of these. We know lots of people that have interesting things to say, like MGJ. Somebody asked if anybody had called him Mike Garlic Jr., which I think is great.
Terrific.
Garlic's delicious. Get that Allison any way you can. It's the chemical compound in there. And so, very excited for the future of the AMA.
Absolutely. So all sorts of ways that you can get in touch with the show. Of course, solidverbal@gmail.com. If you want to email in, you've got something to get off your chest. We did a lot of that. So here's what we've been doing the last couple weeks. Mm-hmm. As we made the turn into May, which, by the way, it was the 100-day mark not so long ago.
That's right.
Until the college football season starts. But typically the way this show works, you and I, we've been doing this for a while. When we make the turn into May, there's always that brief moment of panic, like, oh, hell, what are we talking about in May?
Yes.
And even into the early part of June, I think we have that sentiment. Mm-hmm. But then as we get into July, all of a sudden, August gets a little bit bigger in the window. And once we get to August, it's time to actually start talking about college football and the season. So it'll be here before you know it. Mm-hmm. What we did the last 2 weeks, last week I did the really weird role-playing thing that I
thought that was wonderful.
I appreciate everyone in indulging me on that journey.
People liked
Thank
it.
You. It seemed like it went over well, so I'm okay with it. The week before that, you had 12 questions, 8 mm-hmm. college football, 4 non-college football that you wanted to pose to me. Mm-hmm. And now, because we've been putting this off and because we've promised our loyal verballers, that we're going to be doing Q&As once a month, we wanted to cast a wide net and see what kind of questions we could gather to do on to answer on this show. So that's where we're at tonight.
I wonder how many lawyer verballers there actually are.
Probably a lot.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. But we have a number of questions about summer. We have a number of questions about just random things in college football and outside of college football. In the way of news, there's not much, although there's like a weird committee in the NCAA trying to figure out if, you know, we can do a likeness thing with players and making some money off of their faces and brands. So that'll take forever and ever, but it probably gets us into our first question pretty easily.
Congratulations, Skippy. You've got mail.
On the Solid Verbal.
As often as we can, we like to pay homage to those of you who ride into the Solid Verbal. Mm-hmm. Let's start first and foremost. You dovetailed quite nicely first series of questions, really.
From
Northwestern Chad.
Yeah, I'm giving him that nickname. That was not a self-imposed nickname. He's a Northwestern fan. His name is Chad, and he's been asking us enough questions. It's like when you ascend to a certain Boy Scout, Eagle Scout, and you're getting enough badges. Chad has enough verballing badges where, like, we give him a nickname.
Does EA Sports have a secret team of programmers working on an updated, to-the-minute version of the NCAA football game? You know, just in case they suddenly get the all-clear from the NCAA and the courts and the players to launch a new title, Dan. I have...
Do you have intel?
I have a very high level of confidence, let's say.
Oh my gosh.
That EA is ready to move the millisecond they get the green light. I think they're prepared for it. I think they're working towards it. If you've read any of the press releases around Madden 20, you know that there are going to be 10 schools featured in Madden 20. Clemson, USC, Oregon, I think, is going to be in it. Florida.
Yeah.
Texas Tech got in there somehow. But there are a grouping of schools that are going to be prominently featured in the game, which I think is cool.
I would imagine those schools and players playing for those schools in the game, they will go out of their way to make it seem like there is no clear connection between current college players. We go Oregon, Justin Herbert, tall, thin, quarterback for Oregon that game, short, fat, possibly Korean.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly the manner in which those teams will be represented, but they will have a presence in the game.
Do you think it'll be like, remember the Mario hockey game where it was just like skinny, medium,
I was
fat?
Just thinking that when you were talking about Justin Herbert. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they're doing. Skinny, medium, 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 fat, skinny, medium. Great.
There was a mode last year, too, where you could work a player through the college ranks and get him to the NFL.
Right.
I think this represents some of EA's ongoing efforts to rebuild the relationship with the NCAA. They're doing what they need to do to mend those fences and just trying to get a sense for what will work, what won't work in the future when they decide to launch this game. There's still obviously a very big following We are in our 30s at this point, Dan. We still have an interest in it. You have a child. My guess is that your desire to have this game back in your life has not diminished as much as perhaps it should, despite being a new father.
What was your ideal setup for playing NCAA? Like, how would you carve out your space physically? Like, would you have a drink by your side? Would you be playing music? Would you be like, what? Where were you sitting? What TV were you playing
on?
With whom were you playing, if anybody?
When I was still in my old apartment before meeting, before
the old crash pad,
marrying the solid wife, Kate.
The apartment that you could move out of in 45 minutes.
That's right.
Yeah.
We had a robust dynasty going, a robust online dynasty.
Yeah.
And we had the TV mounted on the wall. We had those old couches.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the ideal setup.
You were playing with your buddy Feldman.
I was playing with him a lot. Yeah. And along with other friends who weren't located in the same space. But that was sort of the dream, man.
I played on Brown Beauty, my old couch, that unfortunately Jody with an eye was like, I think it's time to retire Brown Beauty.
Yep.
I was like, but she's like, no, I think it's time. Played on Brown Beauty, beautifully soft microfiber, chocolate brown couch.
I had a black leather couch, Black Beauty, that the solid wife, Kate, immediately relegated to our basement.
I would throw on a podcast, either just out loud on my phone or on my headphones or something like that. I would still have the EA sounds. You know, I'd still have Kirk Herbstreit saying like, I don't know why they went for it there. Very low. I had a good mix going, cold beverage going. And I would generally, because I didn't, sometimes I'd play with my brother who lives near me, but a lot of the time I was just playing online and it felt great.
It was the best. It was
the best.
All right. Ray says, let's say EA scopes out the landscape of college football and they decide that you two, the solid verbal, whoa.
Yeah.
You guys are influential enough to have input on the relaunch. What new features would you want? What previous features would you want to return? And why is the college rock playlist from NCAA football 2006 not on that list, even though it absolutely should be?
So much De La Soul in my brain because of NCAA 2006. And I think Bad Religion, Lagwagon, bands like that. Oh, it was wonderful.
It was good. Really good.
What features would I want to return? I was always just big on playing online and getting my record up. I like playing with friends. I like playing with my brother. I did one dynasty and it was fun. I created players. I liked recruiting, all that kind of stuff. But it was really, the essence of it was the competition, getting better, figuring out audibles that would work for me on either side of the ball. You know, the tweaks and figuring out who I was as a player, as my playing brand, if you will.
Right.
So I don't think there's specific features. My curious thing, though, is when he says, if we're influential enough to have input on the relaunch, what I would want to do is I would want to somehow have EA leak the game to us well in advance.
Oh.
And through our show, we're dropping nugs, Ty.
Yeah.
And you are listening to the show for Easter eggs. Some of it is very direct, like, oh, this is in a game we're playing. And some of it, you have to listen back, maybe play our voices in reverse.
Reverse, got to go
reverse. To hear about new features and maybe release dates. It's an Easter egg hunt is how we're involved with this. Remember when Twitter was brand new and the first really big athlete was Shaq, right?
Yep.
And he was like, hey, everybody, I'm going to go get some Thai food at this place. Anybody want to come hang and eat some some crab rangoon? And it was just like a crazy thing. That's what I would do with this game. I'm like, all right, we're at Target. We're in Columbus, Ohio. We set it up on one of the TVs. It's going to be here for an hour. Let's rock.
We could make that work.
I don't know what that was. Rocks.
Give us the word, EA.
We would do happenings. I think that's the word.
Happenings? Yeah, we could do it.
Yeah.
If we were influential enough to have some say over the relaunch, hopefully they would deem us influential enough to give locks of the week during Dynasty Mode or Home Dogs.
Yeah.
I don't know if Yakko's could afford that sponsorship for Home Dog of the Week, but maybe like Hatfield could.
I would definitely be in favor. I would be in favor. Do you remember? I'm sure you do, because we talked about this on our 90s video games episode with Bill Barnwell. The fake sponsors.
Oh, yeah.
where it would be like Ed's House of Lobster and Body Shopping.
Back in the old Triple Play baseball days.
Yeah, it was like Triple Play 97, somewhere in there, where they'd have fake sponsors. That would be wonderful. And it dovetails nicely. Ty, this is a pro move here. This is a pro move. With the hype of a potential NCAA video game return, it's time to pay the players for their likeness, according to Dan, not me. What random endorsements can you think of that would make sense? So what I'm saying is, if everybody's likeness is getting involved in this game, and perhaps, you know, this is an example, this is nothing I like, if Trevor Lawrence wanted to make some extra cash,
like Pantene Pro V, right?
Well, whatever it is, I would even say EA can pay him more to do a fake sponsor. You see what I'm saying here? Within the show. Like, maybe it's between quarters and like there's a little pop-up square and just like Trevor Lawrence here, and I'm here to tell you about, and it's just more, it's just super likenessy. It's just him in the game in the way that when you would play some basketball game from the 90s, like Charles Barkley would pop up and say something crazy. That's what I want within the game. That's how they're really taking advantage. So it's a super personal way to do things. So he's asking though, what random endorsements would actually make sense for college football players outside of appearing in this video game?
Oh, God.
I've got a bunch.
Well, go ahead. Give him one. I still got to go through all my modes and how I would improve the game, but continue.
So it's a weird, college football is a weird mix fandom-wise of older, you know, richer, or just fans who are nostalgic about the time they were in school, 50s, 60s, 70s, right? So you want to appeal to them, but you also want to appeal to college students who are going to the game. So it's a good mix. So something like ride hailing, like get an Uber Lyft sponsorship.
Yeah.
I imagine ride hailing in college towns, enormous. Everybody's going out. You want to get home. You're not driving. So whether it's Uber, Lyft, or whoever, I think that makes, that's an actually serious answer, right?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Barbecue accessories.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's related to college football. You get your rubs, some tongs, a cutting board, whatever. You get some offensive linemen in there. I actually think offensive and defensive linemen stand to gain the most because they can leverage their size in way, like a water park sponsorship, like come out to Dean's House of Slides and we'll have a cannonball contest with the Georgia offensive line. I think you get stuff like that. Anything Japanese, anything involving, I don't know, kickers, punters, whoever, where they're doing like pickle juice soda for a Japanese brand, be wonderful. And I imagine they've got some cash. They're willing to pay for their spokespeople. Cereal makes a good deal of sense. You got a lot of young fans back of the box. Snack food, hot tubs, mattresses. There's a product. They're definitely not a sponsor, but it's applicable to large men sweating. Have you heard of Dude Wipes?
I have not.
Can you guess what they are?
I can take a pretty educated guess as to what
they're odor-free wipes.
Okay.
That you can use anywhere on your body that you see fit. I think that would make sense.
I think EA can shoot a little higher than Dude Wipes, but it is a random endorsement.
Oh, I'm not talking about EA. I'm just talking in general about likeness. Yes. These are just general likenesses. Yes.
Okay. Fair enough.
General likeness sponsorships. But man, I really want to do happenings with whatever NCAA 2021. Just all, like, we are just going to random places, probably in college towns. You know, we're probably going on tour. We're doing Madison. We're doing Columbia, both Missouri and South Carolina.
I'm just saying, I would do
it. Fordham, obviously, we're going to the Bronx.
If they're making a new version of the game, they got to sear into recruiting. Because presumably, when it happens quick. If they've got to spin it up quickly, I would take the old recruiting system and just put it in the new game. The old recruiting system was pretty good. Even if you kept it intact in 2020 or 2022, the old system was pretty perfect. Moving forward, if you're going to build anything new, you find ways to enhance that recruiting mode with like new pitches and new ways maybe to negatively recruit, but steer into signing day or both signing days now, a transfer portal, all that stuff is very nuanced and very college football. So,
I could imagine a great like graphical intro into the transfer portal.
Oh yeah. It'd be cool.
It would be excellent.
So,
oh, gosh.
You steer into that, you steer into the playoff committee, like Maybe you're inside the room with R.C. Slocum
when
when he's making his old man case for the top four. That's something you can look at.
I would only be on board with that happening if you remember the NES games where, I mean, this ties into last week. Well, you'd be going through an RPG, you'd be going through a land, and you'd like go into a sword and spear emporium to buy something. And you start talking to the proprietor of the sword and spear emporium. And all that comes up is text on the screen and and that comes up underneath whoever it is, Rob Mullins, you know, that kind of stuff, where it's just like, well, Ohio State is blah, blah, blah. But everything that you actually hear is and just the text appears underneath. That I'd be on board with. I don't want actual speech at that point.
Make an AD mode where you can upgrade facilities, hire and fire. That'd be cool.
I would play on strength coach mode. I would choose probably the Northwestern dude, maybe Oregon's Aaron Feld, where he just like you have to hit certain benchmarks between seasons in dynasty mode in the locker room. It's like it's the NCAA version of in Street Fighter when you're beating the crap out of the car, right?
Just mashing buttons, yeah.
You're just mashing buttons, so you're just doing squats and lunges, and you're doing like the box jumps. That's a mandatory thing between seasons.
Essentially the same thing as my favorite Nintendo game of all time, Capcom's Gold Medal Challenge.
Yes.
Just slamming buttons. Okay.
Yeah.
Can Neil Brown take West Virginia above
transition.
The 8-win level consistently? That's from Frank.
Yes.
Now, Neil Brown is your boy, so I don't want to steal your thunder here, but I will say I think the answer is absolutely yes. What I find interesting about Neil Brown, and correct me if I'm wrong, since you are the Neil Brown aficionado of the program, he's got all sorts of offensive experience before becoming a head football coach, but he's not running any kind of pass happy system. This isn't going to be the Holgorsen offense. He's really good at winning in the trenches, and he's really good at finding an offensive system that fits personnel. And most interesting of all is that despite being an offensive minded guy, his defenses have been baller.
Yeah, they've been very, very good.
And he's bringing his DC over from Troy with him to West Virginia.
So Troy, these last few years, 16, 17, 18, after they go 4-8, 10, 11, and 10 wins, but that includes bowls, so 9, 10, and 9 by my math. So yes, that's above 8. And if you look back to where West Virginia was during their best year in the Big 12, which I believe is 2016, they ran the ball very, very well. They defended the run very, very well. And West Virginia's recently scheduled pretty well in the non-conference portion of their schedule. So coming up, they do have some significant opponents. The Backyard Brawl is back starting, I want to say, 2022. They're playing three or four times. They have Alabama in 6 or 7 years, but they have Virginia Tech. They have Florida State on a neutral site. I think it's in Atlanta. They have Missouri. So they have, I think, a home and home with Penn State. So if you throw in a loss, probably most years in the non-conference, or not most years, but every so often, and then a couple losses in Big 12 time, I think it's doable. It's all about the defense. I don't think it's going to be a great year one because of what they have to replace. Quarterback is a big question mark. Offensive line does not look great right now. Receiver does not look great. Defense may be okay at spots. It's all going to be, for him, it's going to be defense in the Big 12. And if they're going to get to that point, they're going to need to recruit Florida very well. He's going to need to develop diamonds in the rough. I'm confident that he'll be able to do that. 9 plus every year is a lot. I'd say 8 plus. I think they'd be in a good place there.
He says consistently 8 wins.
So it's 9 plus.
Eight wins.
I thought he said more than 8. Okay.
8 win level consistently.
He said above an 8 win level. My math tells me 9 is above 8.
I think he can get to 8 consistently.
I'm curious about this offense. Curious about whoever ends up starting, Jack Allison or Austin Kendall. Yeah.
I like Neil Brown. I like that hire. I think is a really, really good hire. And I think defense can be a competitive advantage in the Big 12.
I'm not in love with Vic Caning.
I believe it's Koenig.
Is that how you pronounce it?
I looked up the pronunciation guide.
Okay. Wow. Look at you. I'm not in love with Vic. He has been like a poor man's Jim Chaney defensive consultant type to me. And I generally don't trust them as for like consistent high level play. But he was great for Troy. And that defense, they've been absolutely terrific against the run. I hope it keeps up. But I think they're going to be doing some adjusting scheme wise.
Yeah. Can it scale up, especially in the Big 12? A little bit more wide open. Okay.
So I would say there to get to 9 wins a year on average, regular season wins, not 9 including a bowl, I would give it a 48% chance of happening.
All right. I'll go a little higher than that, but I see where you're coming from. Abbott, what Big Ten team will have the biggest upset alert during the season? This is an excellent question. I don't know about upset alert, but I'm going to harken back to something I said a couple weeks ago. The biggest letdown look-ahead sandwich is Michigan going to Indiana November 23rd. It's one week after hosting Michigan State and 1 week before hosting Ohio State. That, my friends, is the letdown look-ahead sandwich of the Big Ten season
this year. That's the obvious one.
Yes.
I've got an open-faced letdown look-ahead sandwich. Remember the definition of an open-facer?
I do, of course.
The bye week after the situation. So I have Michigan at Maryland, which I'm not super keen on Maryland this year. A lot of questions all over the place. I don't know if I love them on defense with, I think it's Brady Hoke's older brother. I think that's who is there.
John Hoke?
John Hoke.
Okay.
Who I looked it up. He was with Tampa Bay last year. He was longtime, I think, Chicago Bears defensive backs coach for Tampa Bay last year. Not a good pass defense. Turns out 32 out of 32. Not a good place to be. Not all on them, but...
Two syllable names are very unfulfilling.
Michigan is playing Notre Dame, I believe, in the Big House this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then they have Maryland on the road. Then they have a bye, and then they have Michigan State.
Okay.
So I think there's an open face quality to that. I think there's only three teams that could qualify as right now being on upset alert. I don't think there is a true Wisconsin upset alert. I don't think there's a true Michigan State upset alert after last year. I think it's just Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State right now. Is that reasonable? Those three teams are the true, if we're talking upsets in May?
I think so.
After last year, it's not a big upset if Michigan State loses to a lesser team, or if Wisconsin right now loses to a lesser team. Ohio State at Northwestern on that weird Friday.
It's
before Wisconsin and after a bye week, so schedule-wise, that could be a little bit strange for them going to Kyle Field. And then Penn State at Minnesota. Penn State will not have played at home in 3 weeks with a bye in there, and that would be after three good defenses. I think it's the Michigan schools and Iowa. So presumably, just being away from home and strange beds, good defenses, I'd watch out for that one, especially with how Minnesota finished last year. We'll see.
Chris, with some random rapid fire, what's more likely questions? I like this. Yeah. First one. A team other than Georgia wins the SEC East, or a team other than Alabama wins the SEC West? I think I would rather have a team other than Georgia winning the SEC East.
I think Florida's closer to Georgia than a team is in the West to Alabama right now. And I wish it were LSU, but if you could remind me, it's been years since they've scored a point against Alabama. Years.
Kansas wins three games, or Kansas wins any other number of games.
Right. I'm going to take other.
I'm going to go other. Let's
move on. I'm going to go under with that.
A non-Power 5 team, and he says in parentheses, Notre Dame is eligible, finishes in the top 8 in a final pre-bowl ranking, or... one of Alabama or Clemson misses the playoff. I don't think Alabama or Clemson are missing the playoff. So by default, I'm going a non-Power 5 team finishing in the top 8.
Oh, I'm going to take either Alabama or Clemson missing the playoff.
Really?
Alabama most likely has to go through Georgia. Clemson loses Trevor Lawrence. I hope it doesn't happen, but that's sort of a razor-thin margin at that point. We saw what happened last year. So I think there are too many variables, and Alabama still has a tough schedule in the SEC West. Clemson most certainly does not and will not have to go through anybody all that good in their conference championship game. But yeah, Alabama going through Georgia once again with Jake Fromm might be the first quarterback taken in the draft next year, right? He might be.
I don't want to have this discussion about this.
I'm just saying Jake Fromm in his
if Daniel freaking Jones can go top 10.
Okay, so forget the NFL draft.
It's possible.
Forget the NFL draft. And by the way, I think LSU, I'm in my head, LSU did score a touchdown. They've scored a touchdown the last 3 years against Alabama. So I regret the error. I think Jake Fromm, having that experience playing on a big stage, looking as good as Georgia did for a good chunk of last year's game and for the national championship game the year before, I'm going to go with that.
All right. Okay. Deep breath.
His next rapid fire.
Non-quarterback wins the Heisman, or a player from a non-playoff team wins the Heisman?
I'll take non-playoff team.
I'll take a non-playoff team.
Because I can still get a quarterback that way. I can still get, you know, Dwayne Haskins was a finalist last year as a non-playoff player.
A coach not named Saban or Sweeney wins a playoff game, or a player not named Tua or Lawrence wins the Heisman. That's a really good one.
Yeah, I'll take the first one because they could be playing each other in the first round.
I was thinking that as well. I don't think it's likely. And I think it's far less likely that Tua or Lawrence won't win the Heisman. So I'm going to go, well, I agree with you.
But even like, so,
part.
Yeah, finishing 1-2 means they both are either undefeated or have a terrific loss to stay at 1 or 2. And I think they could randomly lose a game and still make the playoff like Alabama did without winning their division a couple of years ago. Sure, absolutely. And just sneak in as like a 3 or 4 seed and end up playing each other.
I'm going to allow you to rant on part F here in Chris's rapid fire what's more likely questions. The Pac-12 champion has fewer than 2 losses or the Pac-12 champion comes from the South Division. I think we are in agreement on this one, but I would like you to just go ahead and rant.
I don't even know. The Pac-12 champion having fewer than 2 losses? So you're talking about an 11-1, I guess 12-1 champion?
That's what he's saying.
I don't see it. I don't see it.
So by default, then it's got to be from the South Division. Could be USC, maybe, if things go
I'd
right.
I'd probably take Utah.
Could
right
be Utah.
Now, the South, yeah.
Okay. There will be a 5 overtime plus game this year, or there will not be a 5 overtime plus game this year.
I say no.
I say no. And finally, Illinois will make a bowl game or Colorado will make a bowl game. So he's saying Illinois versus Colorado. I would most definitely go with Colorado on that one.
I think so, too. I'm pulling up their schedule right now. They have an experienced quarterback. They have maybe the best wide receiver in the country. So a game changer. Not a lot of schools can claim that. Colorado State, Nebraska, both at home. Air Force at home. So they're not leaving Boulder until they travel to ASU, who's going through some changes. New quarterback there, possibly a freshman. So if we're counting winnable games, Colorado State, Nebraska, Air Force, Arizona State, Arizona, that's 5. UCLA is 6. I don't think either one of them is making a bowl game.
This might be my favorite question we've ever gotten.
I'm ready.
Jason says, if you had to pick a college stadium to occupy, to defend yourself against roving hordes, he has zombies, fans, etc. Which stadium do you pick to give you the best chance of survival? You got to consider all sorts of things here. He has sight lines, points of entry, food offerings, and the like, Dan. Do you have an answer for this? I thought long and hard and probably put too much energy into it, but I feel like I have a good answer.
I'm taking Doak Campbell.
Okay, why?
I'm going to Tallahassee. You have a mascot with a flaming spear.
That helps. It does help.
That, I don't know if there is a better, if you talk about like the West Virginia musket, it's shooting blanks. Mm-hmm. You're talking cannons at various schools, you're shooting blanks.
Right.
That's a flaming spear is a flaming spear is a flaming spear.
That's right.
So I'm presumably getting access to that.
Getting a weapon, yeah.
I'm getting a nice weapon there, or an armory of flaming spears.
And a horse. And a horse, which getting provided horse. You can ride the horse,
right.
Gives you a way to get around.
And also the surrounding area in Leon County and the Panhandle. If we're talking about an apocalypse, we're also talking about weapons everywhere, illegal pets on the loose. Mm-hmm. Like, it's an area where I feel like there is going to be some backup if they're willing to be on my side.
Okay.
So I'm going Doe Campbell. I am harnessing the energy of FSU Twitter.
What I like about it is that it's in the shape of a bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a major college football stadium wherein crowd control is something they've clearly figured out.
But it's old enough that there's not, it's not intricate.
No.
Like, there's not catwalks and
that's
like different places
thing.
To hide.
I don't want Beaver Stadium because then I got to worry about the zombies getting onto the upper deck and what the hell are you going to do then? Conversely, I don't want something like Sam Boyd Stadium comes to mind for UNLV, where you've basically got one whole side of the stadium. I don't know how well you know Sam Boyd. I don't know why I thought
like the back of my hand.
Yeah, but there's a whole area behind a scoreboard where there's just, it's like a hill. And they could just stream in and then you're toast. You've got nowhere to go. I don't want that either. I don't want zombies coming in unabated. I like the cut of your jib with Doak Campbell. Mm-hmm. I think the answer is Michigan Stadium. Here's why.
Okay, so you have your bowl.
You've got the bowl. It's obviously a huge stadium, but it's built a little bit like Fenway Park in that it's built down into the ground.
Right.
So you've got really good sight lines from the top of the stadium. Mm-hmm. You can always fight from an elevated position, which I like, which is helpful. Mm-hmm. You've got consistent terrain to fight on because it's in the shape of a bowl. It bows out a lot. And you've got consistent points of entry. So I like that about Michigan Stadium. Plus, they're used to having a large capacity crowd there. They're used to crowd control, presumably tons of places to eat if you got to go and raid a concession stand. You know, you can make do with Michigan Stadium. I think that's the correct answer.
Counterpoint. If this is your new home stadium, there's just too much history there of the home team losing when the stakes are highest.
Oh, damn.
And when everything's on the line with zombies. And here's the other thing about Michigan Stadium. There's a certain quiet to it that can be eerie.
That's mean. Come on.
I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm married into a maize and blue family.
The answer is Michigan Stadium.
That's pretty good. I'm sticking with Doak.
Okay. Let's go to Josh. What's your preferred college football preview mag and why?
Oh, I've really grown to like Athlon a lot.
Okay.
They've incorporated people that we've had on this show a lot.
They've incorporated
some analytics angles. It's sort of no nonsense, but it's all in English. It's not like there aren't 73 different abbreviations that I suddenly have to like turn to a legend to remember what I'm looking at. There's nothing that's referencing like looking at a Notre Dame preview that's talking about Tom Reese.
It's like, Tom. Now it's
there's just too much context in some other magazines. And I just, there's a depth chart. There's a schedule. There are position group breakdowns. It's a great pooper guide. I love it.
They're all very good.
It's a pooper's delight.
They're all very good.
You can blurb that.
If I'm picking, though, I probably go Athlon as well.
Yeah.
I buy them all for what it's worth. But
How do you feel about the anonymous scouting reports?
I'm a huge sucker for the anonymous. Like the blind item?
They are ethically hazy. Ethically in a very strange place.
You're talking like page 6 kind of...
Well, it's
scouting
just like,
reports.
Okay, so if you don't know what we're talking about in Athlon, for each team, say they're talking about, I don't know, Texas A&M. They'll be like, arrival assistants take. And it'll be like, the offensive line was super overrated last year. I don't think they've got the bodies up front on defense. And while I like their defensive coordinator, I don't think their quarterback has that high a ceiling. They're much more beatable than people realize.
Yeah.
Now, you're hiding behind anonymity to say mean things, which, again, ethically, not wonderful as, you know, somebody interested in media and journalism, but somebody interested in like the sweet, sweet juice, that nectary gossip. I love it.
Oh,
it's
I'm
great.
Into that. All right.
Yeah.
Kevin in Washington, do you think it's possible Ed Orgeron could be on the path to building LSU in the same way that Dabo Swinney, this is the good stuff, built Clemson over the last few years. He goes, the reasoning for my question, LSU was trended better over the last couple of years overall, including a big bowl win last year with a horrifically tough schedule. And there seems to be a lot of similarity between Dabo and Orgeron in terms of the strengths and weaknesses they bring to the head coach position, Dan. This is an excellent question. Thank you, Kevin.
We've started seeing this a lot in a lot of different places with new coaches and strategies that, like, they're going to do for their new program what Dabo did for Clemson. And that is, they're just going to worry about big picture stuff and recruiting and infrastructure and operations, and they're going to be hands off with offense and defense. They're going to not take as much money and spend all their money on the assistants and coordinators and do everything they can to make the environment great so that assistants and coordinators will want to stay. All of that undersells an incredibly important point. What if you just can't Dabo-wise your program? What if, and stay with me here, what if Dabo Swinney is uniquely excellent? What if he's just an incredible football coach and not a template? Does that make sense? What if he's really good? And I think the fact that, like, he portrays this at times sort of aw shucks kind of thing, like he's not actually that good, he's just tapped into a strategy. And I think that's so misleading.
It does go against the Beyonce principle of finding another Dabo in a minute.
It does. And I mean, I remember hearing about this when Willie Taggart was hired at Oregon, that he's going to do for Oregon what, you know, he's a great recruiter and he's very likable, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, he hired Jim Levitt and is spending all this money on coordinators, you know, Mario Cristobal, these big splash hires. Doing what Dabo did at Clemson has to be nearly impossible, because if it weren't,
everybody would be doing it. They have this thing with baseball players, and I forget who came up with the stat, but once they get to 1,500 at-bats, you sort of know what they are. And I think both Dabo and Coach O at this point have reached their proverbial 1,500 at-bats. We know what they are. I feel a lot more confident in saying that Coach O isn't going to get to Dabo heights than otherwise. So I'd love to be wrong about that. I love LSU football. I'm rooting for Coach O. I think it's a great story. Right. I don't think I agree with the premise here that he's going to build it Dabo style and turn LSU into the next Alabama of the West.
Right. It's not a prefab situation.
No.
You are not. It's unlikely that anybody will ever be able to do what Dabo did for Clemson. And LSU is a national championship winning program. Recently, recruits have been alive, I believe. You know, they won it in what, 2007?
Yep.
So you're talking about recruits having vague recollections of LSU as a top tier team. And they were in the national championship, what, 2012, 2011? So LSU is in a good place brand wise. The big difference right now between Clemson and LSU is LSU's quarterback is fine. Clemson's quarterback is amazing.
Is Trevor Lawrence. By the way, I don't mean to paint Coach O in any kind of negative light.
Too late.
He could.
No, Ed Orgeron's a really good coach. I really like LSU.
He could never even sniff Dabo Swinney and still be very good at LSU and build LSU into something more than they've been the previous 15 years. It's not to say that Coach O is doing a bad job or is going to do a bad job. It's just Dabo is clearly at a place now in college football that puts him in rarefied air.
There's something else that should also is relevant to the discussion of whether or not Ed Orgeron can do for LSU what Dabo Swinney has done for Clemson. And this is what Dabo Swinney also has going for him that LSU never, ever will. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Georgia Tech, at Syracuse, at North Carolina, Florida State, at Louisville, Boston College, at NC State, Wake Forest.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Not bad. It is not
pretty
bad.
Good.
All right, let's move on. This one comes from Matt. I don't know if we addressed this. I think I intended on addressing it.
Mm-hmm.
We might not have had time on one of our previous Q&A shows, but I thank Matt for posting this again, I think, on Facebook. At what point is a team's past accomplishments irrelevant or not worth mentioning. For example, Illinois has 5 national championships.
Wow-wee.
5.
Yeah.
The last of which in 1951. Does that even matter? Michigan has 11 with the last in 1997, but nothing since the early 1900s. Do those other 10 count? A coworker and I had the debate. It's written in a very McSweeney's-esque way. I love it. Right. I said 30 years is relevant. He says they are always relevant. What are your thoughts?
Ty, if you go to my childhood bedroom, you're going to see a lot of soccer trophies. Don't think I'm getting the call up to the men's national team. I mean, we're talking littered with soccer trophies.
Not going to be starting it right back, eh?
Not me. Me and Christian Pulisic, whatever. It's not likely. Here's what I would say. Our friend Bud Elliott did a really nice job, and I just referenced it. He pointed out the ages of recruits when schools last won national championships. I don't have it in front of me. I need to get my laptop is where it was. But if a recruit is not alive the last time you won a national championship, it's not that it doesn't count, but I don't think you can really talk about your program as national championship caliber, right? Appearing or winning.
Yeah.
The other thing I would say, if your team won a national championship when technologically the broadcast was extremely different. So here's what I'll say. If your team won a national championship when it was 4x3, HD was not available, you're not really a national championship contending program right now. You shouldn't be thought of in that way. If we're talking about a graphics package on ABC or CBS or whoever was broadcasting the game, that you're just like, oh my God, I totally forgot about that weird loop-de-loopy rainbow scoreboard. This is a very much like you might be a redneck if, but you're not a national championship contending program or not a national championship owning program in any sort of relevant way.
It has to be within your peripheral view.
Right.
In order for it to actually carry any weight. It doesn't mean that because it happened in 1951, it doesn't count for Illinois. Of course it counts for Illinois.
If the best player on that team has been working in a non-football job long enough to have tenure or to have had a party celebrating how long he's been working at this it's gone pro in something other than football. Like, I think it's time, like, for Illinois specifically, they went to the Rose Bowl with Juice Williams. Juice Williams has probably been working somewhere for a long time, not in football. Can't really talk about Illinois as like, yeah, we're Rose Bowl. Yeah, it's the, Juice Williams. Rashard Mendenhall. Yeah, of course.
The 1961 Yankees matter because the Yankees have won multiple times since 1961.
Right.
1951's been a long time. It does not carry weight with it, but it certainly carries the banner and all the pomp and circumstance that came along with winning a championship however many years ago. I can't even count that high.
Yeah, Red Grange. You got Ray Nitschke. I'm looking at a list right now. You can drop all Dick Butkus. You can drop all sorts of names here.
Do we want to go one more college football and then close
Let's do one more college football.
Maybe
what do we
got? 15, 20 minutes of none.
I'm ready.
You can change one rule. This is from Ryan.
Oh, it's a good question.
One rule for the 2019 season. What would it be?
I've got two because that's how I roll.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ban punting.
Okay.
Who gets excited about? You get more football plays. You get 25% more plays in a game. Like football plays. Not that punting is not a football play, but you know what I'm talking about. Somebody under center.
Yep.
Also, end zone PI is a touchdown in the same way that end zone holding in your own end zone or some sort of penalty committed in your own end zone is a safety. End zone PI, touchdown. Boom.
Okay.
And obviously, you're going to have terrible calls and it's going to swing things, but I like that idea because I don't want intentional jersey grabbing. I don't feel like that does much for me from a football perspective.
I am getting rid of targeting.
Okay.
I care about player safety, but maybe not as much as I should. So
if you're going to ban targeting, then I think you should probably also ban kickoff returns.
No,
just kickoffs in general.
I didn't think that deep.
That balances it out.
It does balance it out, but I'm banning targeting. In part because I don't think the rule has been applied correctly, and I think it gets in the way, especially since we have replay and there are still bad targeting calls, but That's a separate discussion for another podcast. Getting rid of targeting, first and foremost. And I'm also allowing holding, actually. I'm allowing it on offense. I'm allowing it on defense. I just want to see how much these guys want it. if you're a defensive lineman and you're being held, you got to earn your keep to make it through that 320-pound offensive lineman to get to the quarterback.
I am saying the guy who shouldn't have been in the Pac-12 review booth for, I think it was Washington State, USC, he is the only one reviewing calls for the all only games.
Glasses ref? Can we have glasses ref?
Oh, no, let's not do that. But okay. Yeah, some all lawyer right. for the Pac-12. All right, you want to talk non-football? If you've exhausted yourself with all this ridiculous football talk,
let's pick out some non-college football. So again, if you're listening at home, if you tuned in for the football, you're more than welcome to stay for the fun. But if you made it this far, we do appreciate it. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. Mm-hmm. We got 10 or 15 minutes here, let's say, of non-college football. Dan, I'll let you pick from the hat. Go ahead.
What is the most unlikely product? Again, this is Northwestern Chad's quinceañera. This is his coming out party. What is the most unlikely product that you'd go out of your way to write a 5-star review for on Amazon? And he says his is a mole-killing trap.
A mole-killing trap. Okay.
Yeah, he's got moles apparently destroying his yard. Wee. What is a 5-star review that you would go out of your way to leave for something you ordered? It doesn't have to be on Amazon, but something online.
I ordered a very cheap plastic trophy for a golf outing. More of a gag gift.
Yeah.
That I would give a 5-star review. There's really nothing to review other than the fact that it didn't break when it got to
me. That's true.
So that's one. I think the more practical answer, though, gag gift aside, is one of two things.
Okay.
I ordered the smoke detectors. Remember the ones that I said I went above and beyond to make sure that they were of the safest and utmost quality?
The Cadillac of smoke detectors. Yeah.
I would probably write a review. I don't know what the review would say, but I feel like they're really good quality, and I would write a review for a smoke detector. I would also write a review. I bought many more than I should have, like a dozen and a half of those like solar-powered path lights that you put out in front of the house. Have you seen these things? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Are they like the airport lights kind of things?
Sort of. They're made
of runway lights.
They're made of what I would describe as the cheapest quality plastic known to man. But because they've got the solar panel, the wee solar panel at the top, the size of like a square of duct tape on the very top, and because they light up at the same time every night reliably, I feel like they deserve a 5-star review.
Great.
So yeah, that's very unlikely. The review would not be helpful. But off the top of my head, that's the direction I'm going.
My wife loses her keys pretty consistently. She's a very bright person. She's just sometimes scatterbrained. And I ordered her one of those alarms that you put on your keychain that you can set off a loud beeping from your phone.
Does it actually work?
It works so well.
Really?
And it makes my day. She's probably lost her keys since we got one of these things. It was like $15-$20. Probably 3-4 times. One, it's incredibly helpful and it works and it helps her to find her keys. But two, it's great because she forgets how to use the app. And so she has to come to me and be like, so I need to find my keys and I know there's an app and I know you know how to use it. So, and it's wonderful every time. It works perfectly and I get that situation every time.
Beautiful. Where are we going next? Now,
we're going to go to, let's go to Ben. No, Ben had a pretty good question. I guess people are asking about beaches versus lakes or lakes versus saltwater beaches.
We've done that question before, haven't we?
I think we've done that question. I prefer the saltwater. I like waves, but I appreciate a good lake because it's easier to get a house on a lake and grill and go on pontoon boats. It's a good time. It doesn't have to be one better than the other. We can all be secure in our preferences.
More bugs at the lake, don't you?
There are bugs at the lake.
Yeah. I go
beach. There are bugs and sometimes humidity because of said bugs.
Yeah.
What was your favorite jersey to wear growing up, Ty? Chris wants to know.
Oh, buddy.
What was yours?
Well, okay. I'm not going to say favorite, but I had a hodgepodge of really random jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
In the NBA, I was the proud owner of a Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf Nuggets jersey.
Great. Shout out to Chris Jackson / Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf.
In the NHL, Whoa. I had, yeah, that's right. I had one
sweater.
I had one of those Phoenix Coyote jerseys.
Oh my gosh. Who was it?
I don't remember. I believe it was the goal, whoever the goalie was at the time.
Okay.
Either that or it didn't have a name on the back. But I had one of those. I also had a Boston Bruins jersey. I was a big Ray Bourque fan back in the day.
Have to be, yeah.
On the baseball side, I don't know if I had a jersey.
John Wetland.
No John Wetland jersey, thankfully.
David Cone.
No, didn't have any Yankees jerseys.
Okay.
And I don't think I had any Giants jerseys.
Chris Sabo.
I may have had, I know I had a number 3 Notre Dame jersey, but the good part about Notre Dame jerseys is because there's no name on the back, it's transferable from season to season.
It was a Rick Meyer jersey.
Still be in my closet back at Mama H's house. There was also a Penny Hardaway era for me, where I feel like every kid, but I had I had the light blue Orlando Magic version.
That's a good one. A good one. I don't even know how many jerseys I had because I wasn't really a jersey person, but I loved my original Toronto Raptors, Damon Stoudemire.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Purple, not white. Went with the purple. I loved him at Arizona. My mom went to Arizona, so I rocked that for a good chunk of time.
I like it.
Ty, what is your go-to meal for those, quote, bring something to share social gatherings, potlucks, tailgates, etc.? Ryan wants to know.
Oh, go-to meal.
Mm-hmm. I got 2 really good options for you.
Bring something to share.
Well, yeah. Yeah. What are you bringing to share? Bring a casserole? Bring a dip?
Are we assuming that I'm cooking it? Or are we...
You're doing something to it. Arranging it. Yeah.
Or is it something that I could buy at, like, Chick-fil-A?
If you could assemble, like, fruit salad would count.
Okay, so I'm assembling.
I'm going to throw together a fruit salad. Something that you are not just bringing from the grocery store to the gathering.
Why don't you go first? I need to think this one over a little bit.
All right, I make a terrific charred corn salad. You throw the corn cobs on the grill, and there's like a honey sriracha garlic dressing. It's charred corn, black beans, avocado, serrano chilies, cilantro. It's great. It's really, really good. That's a recipe from a barbecue place in Atlanta called Bee's Cracklin'. And then just some homemade cookies. People are always very impressed when I've shown up, like, yeah, I made some cookies. Like, you made these? Like, yeah, I just mixed together a couple ingredients and threw together some golf balls on a pan and in the oven and then brought them over. Like, wow, that is incredible. So people have low expectations of most of us. So throwing together some cookies, I think, is a great call.
I make a really good roasted vegetable concoction. And what I like about it is, first off, it's simple to make. You cut up vegetables.
It's very vague.
You roast them. I know. But that's sort of the hidden secret. It's not so much the vegetables, because you look at them and think, oh, well, what's so special about that?
What's the vehicle you're bringing it in?
But there is, it usually just a pan, standard issue pan. You cook it on a cookie sheet, but there is a honey Dijon sauce that I've learned to make that is very secretly delicious.
That's great.
So there's more to it than meets the eye, which is one of the reasons why I like bringing it.
This goes into Matt's question of, could you please give a ranking of things that should be grilled? That's a, it says maybe a top 5. Okay, that's more limiting. And one underrated thing that I should try on the grill. So, I've got some answers here.
Do you ever grill a banana?
No, I haven't.
I don't really love
bananas.
It's tough to grill, but it's actually pretty good.
If you do it correctly. Underrated answer is peaches. I will slice up some peaches. I will bathe them in honey water for a little bit. I will char them on the grill and then crank some sea salt on top of those suckers when they're ready and charred.
Okay, a little sweet and sour.
Sweet and salty.
Sweet and salty,
because the honey gives you a nice caramelization on it. So it's wonderful, especially if you're into ice cream. It's sort of like it's a peach cobbler without any cobble. It's great. I would, marinate some carne asada. Anything that cooks quickly on a grill. So any thin steak that's marinated, like bulgogi, you want some Korean barbecue? Oh, it's wonderful. It is very rare that I will have a lot of people over and do some sort of big grill cookout style thing without just making a mound of onions and peppers on the grill.
I'll change the question around a little bit and say that I think chicken is overrated on the grill. And I
think chicken, marinated chicken thighs can be really good on the grill.
Chicken thighs, yes.
Yeah.
Because there's that natural built-in moisture to it.
Yeah, yeah.
But like chicken breast, it's very easy to screw that
up. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Easy to screw that up. Now, if you lather enough barbecue sauce on it, you can make anything taste good.
I'm living in a PBW. I'm living in a post-breast world.
Yeah, okay.
I would also say if you can get a pizza steel, you throw the pizza pan, essentially, on the grill for like 45 minutes until it's like 600 degrees. Then you put the pizza on that, and it absorbs the heat really well, and you get a great pie on there.
You've been...
There's a thing called a kettle pizza.
Yeah, you've been after me for like months now, because you know that we're putting the patio on the back here to try and buy. How much does this thing cost? This contraption, like $800, $800.
Well, a really good one, yes, a really good tabletop pizza oven will set you back $700-$800. But I think you can do pretty well for $200 or $300.
That might be a little too rich for my blood.
You know,
I like
how,
pizza, but maybe not that much.
You know how there are dance moms that are living vicariously through their 4, 5, 6-year-olds, and they're, you know, stage moms. They're like pushing them too hard to fulfill their own dreams. I feel like I'm a patio dad.
Yeah.
I feel like living in an apartment as you build a patio, I'm trying to live vicariously through you. All right. I love this question. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Due to circumstances beyond my control, this comes to us from an anonymous verballer.
Whoa.
My wedding is going to have to be somewhat limited time-wise with an open dance floor, about 2 hours. How do I make sure the dance floor stays full for the entirety of the 2 hours? Please don't use my name on air. That comes to us from... Oh, wow. They're really famous. Okay, sorry. Ty, what's your answer?
Okay. My wedding is going to have a somewhat limited time with an open dance floor.
Yeah.
About 2 hours.
I don't know
what
closed dance floors are, but I'm ready to figure it out.
How do I make sure the dance floor stays full for the full 2 hours?
Keep the party going. Mm-hmm.
So what Anonymous has not specified here is the other circumstances surrounding the wedding. Is there an open bar? That helps. Believe me, that helps.
Well, that does take people away from the dance floor, though. If there's
it takes
line,
people away from the dance floor.
Yeah.
But not if you have a good pre-reception ceremony with an open bar. Mm-hmm. If you get people liquored up enough by the time they get to the dance floor, they're a little bit more likely to get out there.
You ever go to a wedding with a bar on the dance floor? Because I have.
How'd that work out?
In each corner of the dance floor, there was a little tequila cart where you could either get shots of tequila or little margarita shots. And people loved it.
That'll help, right? That will help.
It does help. Yeah.
So that's the first thing. Open bar, mm-hmm. preferably before you get to the dance floor, I think helps.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, it might be obvious, but good music.
That's
good music. If you can afford a live band, that'll help.
Mm-hmm.
But good music, first and foremost, I think is going to get people out there. And then if you can nudge them a little bit more out onto the dance floor with a good liquor situation, that's probably your best bet.
I would also say cocktail weenies. Cocktail weenie fountain in the middle of the dance floor. Music-wise, lean heavy on like a middle ground era of songs. So you're not going Uptown Funk and you're not necessarily going My Girl. You got to find the happy medium where the older part of the crowd is familiar and the younger part of the crowd is familiar.
So is NSYNC too modern?
I think that's too modern.
Too modern. Okay.
I would say, okay, everybody wants to dance to Shout. That's facts only, right?
Sure.
I want to dance with somebody. You Make My Dreams. Sign, Seal, Deliver. It's a little older. I don't know. You know, Ain't No Mountain High Enough. Everybody still loves it. But like Footloose. Jackson 5, I Want You Back.
Yeah.
That, I think, if you lean into, oh, yes, of course, I've heard this song. And then, like, everybody younger, like, hell yeah, I want you back. So I think that's the move where you're not alienating somebody with your music.
What about Electric Slide?
It's a good time. I would do it a little bit later on when the tequila card is really pumped in. Yeah.
Macarena? Some popular ones like that will do the trick.
You're losing people. You're losing people. It's real stationary, which will appeal to the older crowd, but I think you're losing the younger crowd there.
It's a good question, Anonymous. I hope your wedding goes well.
I hope it does too. This is from Just Some Guy.
Yeah.
It's to Dan, that's me, and Ty, but mostly me because I went through it.
Let me read it then.
Okay.
If it's to you, My wife and I just found out we are expecting our first child in late December. Congratulations.
Hell yeah.
Just
Hell yeah.
Some guy. Two questions here. Question one here, Dan. What is the number one thing you did to make Jody with an I's life better during her pregnancy?
So I can speak very specifically to this because, one, I'm a dad. The solid baby looks a little bit like me. Mm-hmm. So yep. Confirmed. Two, he was born in late January, so winter baby. I would say Jody with an I did not really have morning sickness, and part of that is just luck, but part of it is also right when she woke up, she started pumping carbs.
Yeah.
Just I woke up and I made her toast, got some granola bars, you know, whatever it was she was craving. That you hit that real early, it sets the tone. Drink a lot of water, make sure there's always water around. I don't know if you live in a big city or not, and so we're used to taking public transportation places, but like after dinner, she'd be a little uncomfortable, so more cabs and Ubers. I don't love doing that, but I said, sure, let's take more cabs and Ubers. More AC than usual. It already feels freezing, but sure. Uh-huh. Let's do it. So that's how I made her more comfortable, I would say. His number two point.
Number two point. Help me choose a baby moon destination. Mm-hmm. He says, we live in Chicago, so really yeah. anywhere in the continental United States is fair game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to say, if you're doing baby moon, and presumably your wife is mid-pregnancy.
It'll be in the warmer time of year, yeah.
Warmer time of year. I don't think you want to lump on top of that a longer plane ride. Planes are uncomfortable enough as is.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe something, maybe a nice road trip somewhere you can drive to.
I would say that is spot on. Luckily, they're in Chicago, so they're pretty central. Don't go anywhere humid if it's over the summer, so that probably eliminates most of the South, unless there's a part of the South that doesn't get humid over the summer that I don't know about. But because you are central, we considered two places that were opposite coasts. One would have been a very long flight, and I'm still kind of bummed we didn't go, but that was Pacific Northwest. Not super humid up there. Seattle, Portland, Vancouver. Great food, on the water. You can hike, you can just chill, you can go to, if you're into going to independent record stores, come on, nothing, no better area than that. But we ended up going to Maine, which also ruled. It was great. We went to Portland, Maine, which you can fly into from Chicago, I'm pretty sure. The food there is incredible. It's super walkable. If you feel like being on your feet a ton, you can be. If you don't, you can just chill and eat oysters and whatever. And two, we drove up to Bar Harbor, Acadia. My wife
Bar Harbor.
Yeah. Jody with an I was, 5-6 months pregnant? We totally dominated Acadia. A lot of easier hikes, but it's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful up there. Was not humid. Again, great food. I'd never been to Maine. I have zero regret about doing it. I had a wonderful time.
All right. Let's go to Aaron here. Mm-hmm. Question for a generation.
Another good one.
What are your thoughts on groomsmen gifts? Most are alcohol related. And after being in a bridal party for a dozen or so weddings, I have all the engraved flasks I will ever need.
Yeah.
Follow-up question. Can you give a power ranking of the different levels of groomsmen gifts? Okay. So just he's got a bunch here. Let's talk through our theories around groomsmen gifts. I gave
my groomsmen. I didn't have groomsmen.
Yeah, so we did two things. First off, everyone bought suits for our wedding,
mm-hmm.
and we were able to negotiate a pretty serious discount. So everyone ended up getting a decent suit at a very, very reasonable price. But secondly, everyone got the tie as well. So we threw in the tie. I agree completely with Aaron. Don't go with the engraved flask, please.
Yeah.
Please.
So
I've never used mine once.
What is the best gift that you've received as a groomsman?
I received a toiletry bag.
Oh, that actually, I like that a lot.
I received a toiletry bag with an engraved, or I guess not engraved, an embroidered H on it that I use still to this day, probably 10 years later. That was the best gift I've gotten. It's simple. It was probably very affordable, and it's got extreme utility.
If you were a groomsman for me and I had gotten you that gift, which I think is a very good idea.
It's great.
It 100% would have been beautifully embroidered. Whatever it was, cloth or leather, it would have been beautifully and tastefully embroidered with Ty's potty bag. I would have really gone for that irony there. But I
thought
that's
you would
really
have gone with Pinstripe Bowl champions, but that's a nice runner-up.
It would be lined with the Pinstripe Bowl championship shirt. I mean, you get a portable charger. That's great. I want something useful. I want people to get something useful out of it. Maybe it's embroidered, whatever, it's engraved. I would probably go, if I get married again, which I really hope I don't have to, I would probably do what my friend Scott gave both Jody and myself as gifts for the solid baby, which were really just gifts for us. Premium sweatpants.
Mm.
Premium sweats. Because I know they're just going to get a ton of use. They don't need to be personalized, whatever. If I don't know what brand does the best and softest and most ridiculously comfortable sweatpants. That's what I'm doing. I'm not overthinking it. I'm just giving somebody a gift that they're going to get a ton of use out of. Or fire extinguishers.
Yeah, okay.
Or just something that will save their life.
I've got two more questions here and then let's close it out.
All right, let's do it.
Along the same lines of a wedding, someone writes in, going to a wedding this weekend, an old coworker of mine, the entire table I will be at is former coworkers and bosses that don't exactly love each other.
Mm-hmm.
I'm expecting several to be openly hostile with one another. Thoughts on how I should approach this?
Oh, gosh, hit on all of their daughters.
Yeah.
If they're of age. I don't know. If he's the only one that he knows there, like outside of these uncomfortable coworkers, I can get hit the dance floor hard. I don't know. Stay away. Leave early. You're not going to have a great time.
And he says it here. I didn't read it. He says that he is the Switzerland of the group. Nobody really hates me, at least not that I know of. So that puts you in a situation.
I guess you could find a common enemy. Like if nobody there is from accounting, you're like, oh, these idiots at accounting couldn't even make it. And you find the common enemy.
I think it's actually quite simple for him. If he is the Switzerland.
Yeah.
And if to his knowledge, no one has beef with him, he should be able to go up to whoever he wants and chat with them. It doesn't have to be awkward for him. He says there's an open bar. He literally will not know anyone else at the wedding, and he's wearing a light purple shirt with navy pants. So that's friendly. That gives you a talking point. You can break the ice pretty easily. And if no one hates you, you should have the latitude to go up to whoever you want and just chat them up at your table.
You can chat them up, but like the only thing you have in common with them is this, he's an ex-coworker.
He says
it's limited. There's a limited ceiling of
old coworker.
Yeah. So you don't really have much to talk about. You're just catching up about kids and stuff like that. So you make small talk. You go up to the bride and groom. You're like, listen, I'm so touched that you invited me. At some point, I'm going to leave. And, you know, I'm probably not going to say goodbye because you're saying goodbye to all sorts of people. And then you just leave 15 minutes later.
Two other points here that I want to bring up before we get to our final question. Okay.
Yeah.
Two other ways that you could play it, sir. Mm-hmm. If you're interested, depends how dangerous you feel.
Oh, God.
He says he's wearing the purple shirt and the navy pants. Light purple shirt. You're colorful. He says literally he won't know anyone else at the wedding. There's a chance he's single.
Yeah.
Colorful.
Plus one. Yeah.
Friendly. That could be a nice recipe for you. Just saying. Or option B, if you're really feeling saucy, right before you're ready to leave, if these aren't people that you're particularly friendly with, maybe just throw a nice little grenade at the table and say, didn't you guys all used to hate each other? And then leave.
I mean, then you don't really get to see the fireworks, though.
Just get the party started. Leave on a high note. Assume that you're going to get the fireworks started.
Okay. That just seems evil. I like where your head is at, though. I do. We have a final duo of questions.
Final duo. All right.
Span the same topic.
This is the most random question we got from a longtime listener.
Okay.
Would you rather fight a silverback gorilla or take a 2-year prison sentence?
2-year prison. There's a chance that I can go to a nicer minimum security.
Also, if you fight a gorilla, it will kill you. So the answer is
prison
sentence.
Yeah. It's two questions about wedding speeches. Key ingredients, any tips for speech toast?
Mm. Compliment the bride early.
Always, always, always.
And don't try to be funny.
Don't try to be funny.
It's really hard to be funny under pressure. Unless you're pros like Dan and I.
Yeah.
Don't try to be funny under pressure. It usually isn't as funny as you think.
Usually you'll say something that isn't meant to be funny, but you sort of deliver it in an awkward, fun way, and it'll get laughs.
Compliment the bride early.
Mm-hmm. Get you on love the that
good
tip.
Yeah, it's the best tip. Compliment her early. Get on the good side of the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And then don't try to be funny. Something from the heart, something genuine. Keep it short. Get off the stage.
Nobody cares about your friendship with the bride or groom. Nobody cares about your friendship with the bride and groom and other friends there at table 17.
Yeah.
Your speech should be about their relationship.
Thank you.
The two Thank people you. Getting married.
Such a good point.
It should be under 3 minutes. You introduce yourself. You introduce the relationship to the bride and groom or whoever's getting married. And you talk about how you know whoever. And then you say, Ted has always been like this. Ted has always been pretty wild, but deep down he's a big softy. And that's when I knew when he met Allison that they were going to get along because blah, 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 blah. And you're honoring them as a couple. You're not talking about, everybody knows you like your friend. Dig deep and find something likable about them as a couple and then get off the stage. You're doing great because the odds are you probably had a couple of drinks.
Yep.
So just edit. Keep it about the couple and why it's great that they're getting married.
Everyone wants to hit the home run with the speech.
Yeah.
How about you just try to make contact? How about you hit a single? How about you get on first base? How about you get the run in, a sacrifice fly?
Mm-hmm.
Just don't strike out.
Yeah. 4 yards of carry.
All right, then. We've covered some ground here, haven't we?
We have. I've been very happy with this.
All right. SolidVerbal@gmail.com. As always, is the email address. Write in. We'll do more of these, we promise, before the season starts. We've got plenty of time to kill.
Yes, we
do. Don't forget to subscribe to the show if you like the show. Anywhere where you can find a podcast, you can find the Solid Verbal. If you'd like some old episodes, going out to our website, solidverbal.com. And if you'd like to follow us on a day-to-day basis, because really, who doesn't want to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. There's also a subreddit where some of our most loyal and ardent verballers chat about each and every episode at reddit.com/r/solidverbal.
Correct.
And that's all I got.
That's all I have.
All right. Well, you enjoy your Memorial Day weekend.
I will try my best.
For everyone out there, if you're on the way to a picnic or a party, please do travel safely. We hope to hear from you and talk at you about a week from today.
Drink your Japanese pickle juice soda. Drink it down.
For that guy over there, my good friend Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildenbrandt, enjoy the rest of your week, all of your holiday weekend, and in the meantime, stay solid.
Peace!
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.